all-in family Sunday, which is really, really exciting. If you are a little member of our City Point Church this morning, if you are a part of our City Kids program, I'm going to ask you to stand up right now, right where you are. Take a stand in the auditorium because our host team are going to bring you a little gift right now. Why don't you take a stand? That's it. They're going to come and they're going to give you something for the preach. Because who knows, when you're this little, the preach seems really, really long. I'm going to help with that with a little gift that we're putting into your hands. Enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. While you have fun coloring that story, I'm going to tell all of the big kids in the house about the greatest storyteller this morning. We've just been on holidays as a family. We went to Rainbow Beach last week, and it was just spectacular. Not last week, the week before. And what I really noticed when we drove away from here and got in the car with all our children and way too much gear, all in a really confined space, is I had this real revelation of just how much children can talk. We did one, something that we've never done before, and we did a technology-free holiday. Whoa. And for those of you who are thinking about this, it's a really good idea after day one. For day one is just unusual as they detox from technology. But what I notice is that our kids can talk. Have you noticed that kids have no trouble talking? They give you a commentary on absolutely everything that is popping into their head or happening in their world. They tell amazing stories. Some of them are totally fictional and some of them are not fictional. Most of them actually, however, are made up and they are living them like they are reality. They have the most amazing imaginations. And so that is what I'm actually speaking about a little bit this morning when I am going to unpack how he speaks this morning, how he speaks. This message I have to share with you leads straight from the last one I shared last month in our theme, Reach Your World, which is called The Invitation. And if you missed that message, you can actually access that on Podbean or any of our messages from City Point North after the service today or during your week. They are great tools and resources for your world. You'll be much richer for it. Well, I was really stirred in our theme last month in Reach Your World as we explored getting out of your comfort zones and to stop just living for ourselves. This is what we unpacked last month. And beginning to reach out and engage others who may not yet know the good news of Jesus Christ. And as we walked this journey, I continually was challenged in what I believe is one of the greatest hardships we have now and obstacles in doing this, in reaching our world. I believe that one of the greatest challenges or difficulties we have in reaching our world is no longer our passivity in sharing the good news of Christ, but rather our eagerness to share everything that pops into our heads and the damage it is doing to those around us. It's our unbridled conversations and definitive opinions, our negative self-talk and others' chatter, our freedom of speech, so to say. This modern behavior has only been encouraged by our newfound forums of social media that has led to a generation of deaf speakers. And not being an entirely new phenomenon, I can imagine it is what led to the words in James being written. Post this at all the intersections, dear friends. Lead with your ears, follow up with your tongue, and let anger straggle along in the rear. And most likely why the psalmist prayed, set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the doors of my lips. And so it is from these thoughts today that this message has taken form. And there is so much to learn from Jesus and his words that can encourage us back to the pathway of being in the world, but not of it. Of loving our neighbor and being salt and light for our world. There is no greater person's life to look at when challenging our default patterns of speaking without reservation or wisdom than our Savior Jesus Christ. And in this month, Red Letters, I think that we should explore the way he speaks, the way he spoke, his example. For Jesus had such a way with words, it was said, I love this, it was said in John 7:46 that a guard who was instructed to go and arrest Jesus by the Pharisees came back empty-handed. And when questioned on why he had not arrested Jesus, he replied, never at any time has a man talked the way this man talks. We can learn something from Jesus and his words and his teachings as a guide to how we use this powerful muscle called mouth. He has a formula, so to speak, on how to talk to people, how to talk to people in everyday scenarios, how to talk to people to see them healed and delivered, to talk to people about who he was and about what he was doing on earth and how to direct them to his Father in heaven. And so this morning I'm going to unpack really quickly in 4 points just some of the speaking behaviors Jesus exampled for us to mimic him in, to see our lives transformed and others around us as well. Number one, he spoke life-giving words. Here's just a couple of the passages of his words that he spoke. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it to the full." John 14:6, Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." John 16:33 says, "I have told you these things that you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world." Matthew 11:30 says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." 2 Corinthians 12:9, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Are you hearing these words? Matthew 19:26, "With man this is possible, but with God all things are possible." And Mark 11:24 says, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours." These are life-giving words. These are massive statements. I just read to you eight sentences that Jesus spoke that changed our world, changed the way we can do life. I'm sure that you've heard someone say you're going to eat those words.
Yeah.
It may sound like a mere phrase to us, but in reality, we do actually eat our words. What we say not only affects others, but it affects us. Words are wonderful when used in a proper way. They can encourage, edify, and give confidence to the hearer. The right words spoken at the right time can actually be life-changing. We can literally increase our own joy by speaking the right words. We can also upset ourselves by unnecessarily talking about our problems or things that are negative in our world. So what happens when we speak? The words that come out of our mouth go into our ears and into the ears of others, and they drop down into our souls, where they give us either joy or sadness. They feed us peace or upset or unrest. Depending on the types of words we have spoken, they change the kind of food outcome. Words are soul food. When we understand the power of words and realize that we can choose and think and speak, our lives can be transformed, church. God desires that our spirit be light and free so that it can function properly, not heavy and oppressed. We can learn to choose our thoughts, to resist the wrong ones, and to think on good, healthy, right ones. Joyce Meyer says this, "Where the mind goes, the man follows."
Yeah.
And it could also be said that where the mind goes, the mouth follows. When we understand the power of words and realize that we can choose and think and speak, our lives can be transformed. We, as light to this world, have to intentionally plan to say something positive.
Amen. Yeah.
God has given his children a new nature, and we are taught to daily renew our mind and our attitude. Having a positive outlook on life and speaking positive words based on God's word is one of the most wholesome things you can do for your life. When you get up in the morning, if there's something that you need to do that you're not really looking forward to, you could say, "I'm dreading this day." Or you could say, "God, give me the strength to see out this day." Which one do you think would better prepare you for your day? As we've seen, we eat our words. We can rightfully say that our words are food for our souls. Anyone who wants to be healthy is careful to choose quality food that would provide good nutrition to their bodies. If we want to be healthy in our soul and our spirit, we should choose to take in words that build us up and increase our peace and increase our joy. God used words to speak and write this world into existence. Jesus is the Word made flesh, sent to save us from our sins. God put his words on paper in the form of the Bible to provide revelation and insight for us to understand who he is and who we are to him. Words should be so important to us, church.
Yeah, yeah.
So important. Because words are so very important to God.
Yeah.
Throughout history, God has used words to guide us and shape the way the world works. His words are always life-giving and lead us to life. Yeah. Not once in the word does he strip us down, but rather he uses it to build us up and reveal his love and his plan for us. Our words represent ideas and express emotions, and our words can lift people up or tear them down, and our words can speak truth or they can speak deceit. Our words can inform people or persuade people. Our words can incite joy, sadness, anger, or fear, and the power to use words in this way, in all of these ways, comes directly from God. For we are made in his image, and power flows from our lips with our words when we speak just as when he speaks. They carry weight. Matthew 12, 34 to 37 says, "You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the mouth, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good. And the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you that on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Jesus spoke life-giving words. How did he do this? This brings me to point number two. He spoke the word of God. He spoke the word of God. He directed people to his Father. He directed people look heavenward, to think heavenward in his encounters and his conversations with people. In John 16, 38, he said, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." In John 15, 10, it says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." And John 1, 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, was with God, and the Word was God." All of those were spoken by Jesus to people in encounters with him. Yeah. He was always directing them heavenward. Jesus' conversations were heaven-directed. His answers, his responses, and his conversations always led people back to the Father. To be really honest, I often find myself in a moment where I'm in conversation with someone and the Holy Spirit has to prompt me to give a spiritual answer to a spiritual situation or a spiritual issue. What I find is I can naturally default to a natural response, which only speaks to symptoms. Does anybody else often find that? I'll walk away from conversations, I go, "I didn't even consider, God, what you have to say in this. This had a spiritual response, but I went to a default natural response." Jesus is always steering his conversations towards God so that people would find answers. And you know why? What the other benefit for it was? It was because it would bring glory to the Father. When we steer our conversations to the Father, it brings glory to the Father. Yeah. It's a form of worship.
Yeah, wow.
Our words are a form of worship. This should be really good news to all of you who cannot sing.
Yeah.
Because when it says, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord," could it be just the lips on your, the words on your lips that bring honor and glory to him?
Yeah.
I believe so. God-focused words. We need to draw attention to the answer with our words. I believe there are many good things happening in the world, and I believe that there are probably more good than bad.
Yeah. Come on.
But evil is magnified in a way that often seems overwhelming.
Yeah, wow.
Turn on any news station or buy any newspaper or news magazine, and you will find it filled with reports of murder, theft, famine, all kinds of horrible, tragic events. We need to be well informed of what's going on. But to talk about the world's problems excessively with no purpose merely creates an anxious and fearful atmosphere that nobody benefits from. I recently found myself in a conversation, an amazing conversation, with a group of people who were in small business. And this group of people were talking about four businesses that they knew within this circle who had just filed for bankruptcy. And I listened to the accounts of the stories, and then one of the other members then started to talk about two more friends who are normally in this circle who are about to file for bankruptcy. And as I stood there in this circle, you could literally feel the hopelessness in the room. These guys outwork small business, and what hung in the room was an atmosphere and a heaviness or an oppression because of this conversation. With a prompt from the Holy Spirit, he just led me to say, I'm so glad that God is not bankrupt yet.
Amen. Yeah, great. Wow.
And he has favor on your business. And do you know what? Not one person who was standing there disagreed. And the atmosphere shifted in the conversation. And do you know the very next conversation we had then was about serving in the house and how they all loved to serve in the house. It shifted the conversation and changed the atmosphere. Speak the word of God, church. Yeah. Speak it over your life and speak it over others. In Jeremiah 23:28, it says, he who has my word, let him speak it faithfully.
Yeah.
Is not my word like a fire that consumes all that cannot endure the test, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks in pieces the rock of the most stubborn resistance? Keep hitting your problems with the hammer of God's word. Speak the word of God out loud faithfully. It'll break the hardest things you face in your life. Speak words of faith.
Right, yeah.
Which brings me to the third behavior that Jesus examples for us in how he spoke. I love this one, for it is very much in my heart. Jesus told stories.
Yeah.
He told stories. He was the most incredible storyteller. Instead of encountering people and giving them his two cents about their lives, he used relatable stories to point them to God and to a better life. In Matthew 13, there's a passage I'm going to read now. And in the Bible, it is actually titled A Harvest Story. It says, at about that time, Jesus left the house and sat on the beach. And in no time at all, the crowds gathered along the shoreline, forcing him to get into a boat. Using the boat as a pulpit, he addressed his congregation, telling stories. What do you make of this? He says. A farmer plants seed. As he scatters the seed, some of it fell on the road and birds ate it. Some of it fell in the gravel, and it sprouted quickly, but didn't put down roots. So when the sun came up, it withered just as quickly. Some fell in the weeds, and as it came up, it was strangled by the weeds. But some fell on good soil, on good earth, and produced a harvest beyond his wildest dreams. The next passage is titled this, Why Tell Stories? From verse 10 it says, the disciples came up and asked Jesus, why do you tell stories? And Jesus replied, you've been given insight into God's kingdom. You know how it works. Not everybody has this gift, this insight. It hasn't been given to them yet. Whenever someone has a ready heart for this, the insights and understandings flow freely. But if there is no readiness, any trace of receptivity soon disappears. That's why I tell stories. To create readiness, to nudge people towards receptive insight.
Yeah.
That's the power of storytelling. And it's why Jesus told parables or stories often in his encounters with people, to nudge people towards receptive insight.
Yeah.
Stories can create atmospheres for openness, but opinions cultivate an atmosphere for closed minds. What makes up a good story? We all love a good story. We love books and movies and poetry, blogs and documentaries, Netflix. Who's a massive Netflix fan? We all love stories of varying kinds and types. But for most of us, we really love stories. Our greatest ones that we love are ones about regular people doing extraordinary things despite facing adversity. We are inspired by these stories and encouraged to choose their choices, their attitudes, or their behaviors because they survived or they succeeded. Does this sound familiar, church? We are compelled by our God-designed fabric to tell and hear stories. These narratives are expressed through the written and spoken word, acted on stage, sung in music, and shaped into pieces of art. There are hundreds of different forms of storytelling. Each of us tells stories in our own unique way. There is something good about us. There is something about a good story that resonates within to us to the very core of us. A good story helps us recognize truths about ourselves and about the world around us. When God formed the earth, he filled it with the vital elements of a good story. These narratives have been playing out since the beginning of time. Many of the best stories are captured in his word. They get to the heart of what life is all about. These universal truths are why the Bible is still relevant today after thousands of years. When Jesus walked the earth, he often spoke in parables or stories. These were earthly stories used to illustrate a heavenly message. Jesus knew that teaching in the form of a story would help people to better comprehend what he was trying to say to them. These stories resonated with Christ's audience at the time because they were relevant to the time. We can relate to their meaning even today. By using parables, Jesus embodied God's commitment to storytelling. Stories are one of the ways that we can see God at work in our world. Our love of stories was placed in our hearts by our Heavenly Father. As each of us are part of God's creation, we also play a role in his never-ending story. It's in our testimonies, church. Amen. That's what I was referring to before. Yeah. It's in our testimonies. They're some of the greatest stories on the planet. They are stories of redemption, stories of breakthrough, stories of restoration, of forgiveness. They are stories of healing, stories of triumph, stories of humility, stories of grace. All around this room sits 100 different stories.
Yeah.
And so many more topics than what I just read out. They are stories that started on one path, but have been guided by the hand of God towards him and not further destruction. They are quite exciting and thrilling stories. Do you believe it, church? God loves this, and he loves seeing this woven throughout history from the beginning of time. And that is why Jesus spoke in stories. He was sharing something that could unlock someone from a life of bondage to a life of freedom. And the story is not limited to the listener. That's the most powerful thing about stories. And the reason I believe that God used stories, not only did they relate to the people of the day so they could understand them, but they could be carried on. It is not limited to the listener, as we are given mouths to continue to share these good news stories from generation to generation and pass them on. In Psalm 78, verse 1 to 4, I read this at our girl crew night the other night. It's this incredible psalm that the psalmist wrote. Listen, dear friends, to God's truth. Bend your ear to what I tell you. I'm chewing on a morsel of a proverb. I'll let you in on the sweet old truth. Stories we have heard from our fathers. Counsel we have learned at our mother's knee. We're not keeping this to ourselves. We're passing it along to the next generation. God's fame and fortune. The marvelous things he has done. Stories are meant to continue to be told.
That's right.
Storytelling is part of our DNA because we were modeled after the original storyteller, God. His stories are still being told by each of us to others who do not yet understand who he is or who they are to him. And you are still a chapter being written in his book. So be a storyteller and tell your story.
That's right.
Declare his goodness and teach his truths by telling others your story of goodness, of the goodness of God in your world. It will lead them to an understanding that they do not yet know or comprehend. As the band comes this morning, I'd love to unpack the final behavior that I've noticed from Jesus's way of speaking that is quite powerful. This one is quite controversial in our day and age today. And so I've titled this one, He Knew When to Speak and When Not to. A lot of times we just need to be quiet, church. We need to engage wisdom and keep our mouths closed. Jesus demonstrated this often when he was being questioned and cornered by the religious leaders of the day, seeking to trap him through his words. He knew that no words would work with them, and so he engaged his self-control in keeping his thoughts inside his mind and not letting it escape out of his lips. And this action alone often silenced the opposition, but freed the accused. In John 8, verse 1 to 11, there reads this passage. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives at dawn, and he appeared at the temple courts where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. And the teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in the act of adultery. And they made her stand before the group, and they said to Jesus, Teacher, This woman was caught in the act of adultery. And in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. Now, what do you say? Powerful statement. What do you say? They were using this as a question, as a trap, in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. He was called on to answer. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and he said, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the oldest ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. And Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go and leave your life of sin." And in one of the most powerful moments that we know in Jesus' life, where he took on and freed us from sin, this is the passage that is written about this moment when he is being beaten and bruised for us. He never sinned, and he never spoke a word deceitfully. When he was verbally abused, he did not return with an insult. When he suffered, he would not threaten retaliation. Jesus faithfully entrusted himself into the hands of God, who judges righteously. He himself carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we would be dead to sin and live for righteousness. Our instant healing flowed from his wounding. He said no words. In other translations, it said he uttered not a word. He held his words even at the cross, and we reaped the benefit. We, the accused, were free. We were saved. We were healed because of this. I think it's interesting that we have two eyes, two ears, two nostrils, but only one mouth. We need to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Too often our mouths and the tiny instrument called the tongue get us into too much trouble. If we have an unbridled tongue, there is no end to the havoc it can create in our lives and in the lives of others around us. Our words can do severe damage in our relationships, our careers, and the world around us. But here's the good news. With the help of the Holy Spirit, we can do great good with our words. God can give us the wisdom we need to control our tongues and learn to speak life-giving words and to lead people to him at the right time. Proverbs 10:19 says, "In a multitude of words, transgression is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is prudent." Jesus said not a word for our freedom, but then opened his mouth for one of the greatest gifts we have ever received. Just before he returned to his father with the promise that he would return again one day, he said these words in John 4:15, "Loving me empowers you to obey my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Savior, the Holy Spirit of truth, who will be a friend to you just like I have, and he will never leave you." I think it's interesting that he says there, "and I will ask the Father." He opened his mouth for us, even at his departing from this earth, so that we would have the gift of the Holy Spirit. He went to the Father and asked for the Holy Spirit to come and be with us. In Galatians 5:16, it says, "If you walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." This gift, the Holy Spirit, if we would let him guide us, I would say that he would be encouraging us to close our mouths more often, to lead with our ears. God loves us so much, and with his help, we can control our tongues and be led by the Spirit on when to speak. In Proverbs 15:23, it says, "A good word spoken at the right moment, oh, how good it is." God has given us the ability to bless, to encourage, to praise, to sing, to worship with our words. And what I'm going to ask you, church, this morning Would you be that? Would you be someone who chooses this morning to choose to use your words to bless, to encourage, to direct people back to the Father? I'm going to ask us all to stand as the team comes right now, because I'm going to ask us to respond this morning to this. Because the most powerful thing is our words are life-giving, and they go into our souls, and they are soul food, as we have just unpacked. So I'm going to ask us to use them this morning, to make a covenant with God on how we use them. I'm going to ask us this morning to realign our words with how Jesus spoke. There are so many more patterns and behaviors of how Jesus spoke that we could have unpacked this morning. I know I just chose four. But over the last couple of weeks, we have heard the most amazing messages about being salt and light and who we are to this world. And this is one of the greatest ways we can actually display who we are and who lives in us, is by allowing the Holy Spirit to move and shape our words, to come into line with His words. Would you bow your heads with me right now? Father, I pray right now that You would stir in each and every one of us the areas that we need to realign to come into line with Your words and Your word. I pray, Father, that the words on our lips would be life-giving, that they would direct people to You. And I pray, Lord God, that through our testimonies and our stories, that people who have no understanding of You, no knowledge of who You are to them, that they would gain a better understanding through our encounters, because our words are life-breathing words, life-giving words. And this morning, Lord, we covenant with You to speak Your words, to speak in Your way, to take on Your manners, to mimic You in the way You do, Jesus, so that we can be salt and light to this world. And everybody who agreed with me this morning said, amen. Amen. That simple action, church, by saying amen and declaring it, is food for your soul this morning. It is. Before we finish our service this morning, I've spoken about this amazing Jesus who had these amazing ways that He spoke, but maybe you came out this morning by yourself or with a friend and you don't know about this Jesus that I'm speaking about. You don't know about this man who gave everything so that you could live a life that is free, so that you could live what I was just talking about, where you could actually live a life that is peaceful. It has joy around it. It has freedom around it. And Jesus this morning, He wants to encounter you and meet you. And if you are here in this service this morning and that is you, and you have not met this Jesus but you would like to this morning, I'm going to give you that opportunity right now. I'm going to ask you simply just to slip up your hand while nobody's looking around. Just I'm looking. I'm just going to ask you to slip your hand up. And I will pray with you this morning, and our host team are going to come around you and let you know about the great thing and the great person that Jesus is. But if there is anybody, can I just ask you to slip your hand up this morning if that is you and you say, I would love to meet this Jesus and make Him my Savior. Just looking across one more time. Awesome. 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 Well, church, speak life-giving words. Go from here and speak life over your world with your words. We're going to go out rejoicing now. Make sure you stay around and connect with somebody after the service. And God bless.